personal tragedy shapes the way we've been looking at life this past week, including a look at, well, the Olympics, how things are measured. Hey, this is Father Voskin. On this Feast of Assumption of St. Mary, I'm going to be connecting the dots between all of these things and a lot more. And I hope you'll join us. This is episode number 427 of The Next Step.
This is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The next steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
Isn't it interesting, or even wild? You watch the Olympics, you watch these competitions, these runners, these swimmers, whatever it may be. And these games, these competitions are decided by split seconds. Not tenth of a second, not hundredth of a second, a thousandth of a second, 3/1000th of a second. Yeah, you know, unbelievable. But it's the difference between the winner and also ran, the runner up. Okay, now before you get depressed, that's not what this is about. We're going to be talking about some insights on what's going on over at the Olympics in Rio. I want to share with you a personal tragedy involving a very dear, dear family member, Blake Krikorian family in the large sense of the word, church family, and his loss, what it means to us and what happened this past week. And we're going to be sharing with you some insights on also on the upcoming feast, which is called the Assumption. Great blessing time. Yeah, we're going to be talking about that as well today. And hopefully toward the end of the show, letting you know what we're going to be doing next, because so many of you have been writing in and asking, okay, now you're leaving the Glendale scene, the gig. Now what? What happens? Well, we always thought you'd do our wedding. We always thought that you would do our baptism, our kids' baptism. Yes, I'm still a priest. We are a priest. But I'll be sharing with you how the gig changes, okay, and what you can do to get involved. But let me kick it off by making some personal reflections. Last week, if you remember, I was sharing with you some ideas about silence, about being quiet, how important it is that as much as we talk and we share our knowledge, it's also important to be silent and just accept the power of God that's all around us. And sometimes that's a very difficult thing to do. Be still and know that I am God, says the psalmist. And I was sharing with you how important it is that at times when we cannot reach out, in particular when we see something happening on the other side of the world, especially we were talking in about with the situation in Armenia, that it's not necessary to go up there and always expound philosophy, but it's also important to be standing with people in their grief, in their difficulty, standing with them during their challenges, and let people know that we are here. And this, certainly we see this throughout Scripture as Jesus makes his way to people. We see over and over people with all kinds of physical difficulties and challenges, handicaps. And he comes up to them and he stands with them and he says, your sins are forgiven. And people say, wait, what are you talking about? Your sins are forgiven. Don't you see that, you know, they're hurting? And he says, oh, you want to do that? You want me to do that? Okay. Rise. Pick up your bed and walk. Right? It's like, okay, that's the simple thing. The big thing is to be able to be in relationship with another human being, to be able to share the difficulties and the pains. And I shared with you a lot of those personal challenges in my life last week, because being distanced from the situation of inequity over there in Armenia, being distanced, and as a church, not being able to step up to the occasion. And no sooner had we sent out the podcast last week than I would say within a half an hour after the podcast had gone out, I received some very, very tragic news from a dear friend up in the San Francisco Bay Area. He told me that his son Blake had passed away. And, you read this news, I believe it came over email, and you reread it, two, three, four times, thinking that something's off. Now, let me explain that Blake, for us, my wife and me, very, very, very dear family member, in the sense that one of three brothers, all of whom were part of our Sunday school, our first Sunday school. Think about that, okay? You know, you're a young priest. You and your wife are ready to take on the challenges, and this young, incredible family is there at your parish. And these kids in their prime, in their Sunday school, in the youth group at our church. And not only that, through the years, even after we left, we've been so close. In fact, just a couple years ago, a few years back, I had a chance to walk with Blake as he showed me his new house up in the Hillsborough area. And to be with his brother Jason and his family and sharing the joy of the baptism of his children. And of course, the younger brother, Adam, and kind of be excited, not only a beautiful husband, but also now on the world stage as the coach of the Olympics girls water polo team. If you haven't seen it yet, you got to go out there and check it out. You got to see one of the games. I mean, it's wild. And what's happened. And we were talking about gold, by the way. Okay. Gold. Yeah, if you were in London. Did you see London? Yeah, remember that? Okay. Anyway, there'll be links on our show notes to all of this stuff. Anyway, through the years, we've had a chance to be in touch. And in many ways, well, we found a similarity because we had three children, three boys, in fact. And the similarities were great. And sometime in the last century, back in 1998, I believe it was, one of the weddings we were at, we had this beautiful opportunity to be photographed. Their three boys and our three boys and us too. Yeah. If I could dig it up, yeah, we'll put it on our show notes. Okay. Make a note of that. Okay. Anyway, so, through the years we've been in contact, and all of a sudden we get this news. And you just can't accept it. You can't believe it. And I found myself exactly, and this is really the wild part. What did I just speak about? Yes, last week. And there I was. I had just finished the podcast about the importance of silence. And this time I couldn't get any words out. You know, in my profession as a priest, this is what you do. You talk. You got to try to make sense out of the senselessness of life sometimes, right? Sometimes they're just bizarre things. And it's events like this that kind of really shake you up to the core. And what's it all about? And you realize that, well, what it is all about is that this is life. There is an uncertainty to it, which makes it exciting. And yeah, you always wish that there could be more days, more years on any life. Well, not on any life, but you know what I mean. Right? There is an excitement and a joy of life. And certainly with Blake, we say a life that was cut short. And this tragedy just hit us. And I got to tell you honestly, it's been a week now. Trying to find words, trying to find ways of putting this together. I just posted a post on my Facebook account. I believe it was this morning. It was an article that was in LA Times as well as another article. Yeah, we'll put it on our show notes too. Please read them. Beautiful. I posted them because I was at a loss for words. And let me tell you, that's not something little. I usually can finagle myself. I usually can find the words. I'm at a loss. you know, sometimes just life takes these turns. As John Lennon says, life is something that happens while we're busy doing other things. Yeah, we make all these plans, but life takes these kind of weird turns. And you don't expect these things to happen, but they do. It's what's called life. Yeah, there is an excitement to life. And I know, knowing Blake and knowing his spirit, I know that he was one who was, you know, he loved life. He had a gusto for life. In fact, he had just finished surfing, from what I read. He was surfing out at Pacifica. Those are some wild waves over there, too. It was right after that that he passed away. A lot of love for life. Yeah, you know what? That's what it's all about, right? And sometimes it's important for us to recognize that it's not in the words or trying to make sense out of all of it. Be still and know that I am God, says the psalmist, right? Sometimes it's just important for us to be still and know that somehow in this weird mix and mess of everything, God is in charge. Things do find their equilibrium. It's a law of nature. Science validates it through experiment, and certainly the human spirit in what is called history has proven it. Everything finds its equilibrium. We wish the Krikorian family all the strength in the world. We wish all of us that consolation that comes from knowing that life does not end here. And certainly on a giant life like Blake's, it did not end on that day. It continues in the goodness and in the beautiful memories that he leaves behind, in the promise that God gives us. I invite you to take a look at our show notes today. There's be some more biographical information about Blake interspersed with some of the comments that were made in newspapers. And they all point also to Rio, to the Olympics, and to Adam Krikorian, his brother, to this incredible coach, who in the midst of this tragedy is able to lift not only his spirits, but the spirits of others, not by hiding, not by pretending something didn't happen, but by standing there and being genuine. You got to read some of this stuff, okay? I'm just very, very proud of these people, these three guys, that somehow life threw our way through the years. I was their priest. Today, I really feel humbled. I feel like these boys have taught me so much about giving, about the power of love, about the power of compassion, and the power about being genuine and true to that gift that God has given us, the gift of life. I'm going to take a break right now. I'm going to come back and share with you some other, well, some of the topics of the day. I'm going to play you a song. We play a song every week, yes. And this week's no different. Here is Khachadur Avedisyan. Yes, I picked it out especially for today. Davir, one of my favorites. I just needed this right now, okay? In the midst of silence, unable, trying to figure it out. Nothing like a little Khachadur Avedisyan. Enjoy. Chachadura Vedisyan Davir off of the album of the same name. We'll have a link on today's show notes. Chachadura Vedisyan, you know, I mean, when you hear this stuff, you just know it's like good stuff, right? I hope you enjoyed it. I just kind of, like I said earlier, you know, with everything going on, you just kind of need something to like ground you. And this was my grounding today.
As I did walk by Hampstead Fair, I came upon Mother Goose. So I turned her loose. She was screaming.
I want to share with you a couple thoughts, especially watching the Olympics. And, you know, yeah, Olympics have become something quite different these days. You have an opportunity to be part of the Olympic scene 24/7, don't you? If you have cable, if you want to, you can have it on as much as you want. Even if you don't have cable, such as me, right? You get to watch it on TV. You get to hear it on the radio about the scores coming to you. You get the internet updates, and especially if you're on Twitter, you know, it just like comes to you, again, 24/7, but it comes to you in forms that you can pick and choose what you want. And quite different from when I grew up in the early days, yeah, back in the Stone Age when we had TVs with knobs. Okay. Let's define it as that period. TVs with knobs. These big, do you know what a knob is? Think of a doorknob. Okay. Imagine that on your television. Usually was either right up in the front or on the side, and you would just crank this big knob, and the channels would change physically. Okay. It wasn't an electronic change. It was physically you'd hear chuk, and they'd move. Oh, yes. Those were the days. Yeah. So, back in those days, you know, Olympics, yeah, you'd get it in your living room. You'd get to watch it, but it was very limited. You know, maybe a few hours in the evening, whoever was covering it. And they'd put it together. None of this 24/7 information. And you looked forward to it to see who was the winners, what happened during the days, because obviously it was taking place in a 24/7 world, or at least during the daylight hours, began early in the morning at 7 and went till 11. Let's say a 7 to 11 kind of gig, okay? And somehow they had to consolidate it. But now you're just kind of like looking around, and there's all kinds of stuff that's going on, and it's been really interesting because you're seeing games that otherwise you wouldn't see elsewhere. I was just reading that the gymnast from Massachusetts, but representing Armenia, has developed a new move, which will be under her name in the future. In future, all athletic events, as well as gymnastic events, as well as in the Olympics, this particular move, which has to do something with the uneven parallel bars, will be named after her. That's pretty wild, right? Now, this kind of news maybe in the old days wasn't reported, but now because of technology, you have the opportunity to pick and choose and basically do your own editing and see and hear and decide what you want to follow in the Olympics. And it's basically available to you 24/7. If you can't hack into a satellite, you definitely can pick up stuff on the internet. If you're willing to wait a few minutes, it'll be up on YouTube or somewhere, right? But one way or another, you get what I'm saying. You are in control, and that's thanks to technology. That move from that giant knob to basically some digital expressions that you either type in or you press buttons and you achieve. Okay, along with that technology, some other things changed. Namely, and this wasn't really high tech as much as it was an advancement in low tech, was the accuracy of watches. Yeah. Before, somebody would win by a second. Yeah, that's right. There was no split seconds because we weren't able to measure those split seconds. Maybe a half a second, right? Okay, so you got a fraction of a second. But how accurate were we? It depended on our senses, how fast you can spot the guy touching. And as much as the guy touched the finish line or the handle that said that I have finished this race, it also depended on the person who was gauging that and making sure that he or she clicked that clock at the right time. And then you had some kind of accuracy there was some degree of accuracy, but only by the reflexes of the participant and the timekeeper. Well, now it's electronic, right? And so we are measuring time by split seconds, hundredth of a second, thousandth of a second. And races, competitions are decided by these thousandths of a second. Yes, thanks to the advances in technology, we have the ability to measure time and stop time in those fractions of a second. Okay, now think about this for a moment, right? The guy who didn't win. Yeah, the guy who didn't win gets a silver. The second guy who didn't win gets a bronze. But basically after that, you're basically forgotten about. I mean, in all honesty, probably the bronze guy is forgotten about too, right? You remember the gold guy for sure. Silver guy, okay. Unless, of course, it's you or one of your relatives. But basically, it's the gold guy that gets remembered. Okay. But in these competitions, I mean, did you see some of these gymnasts, these swimmers? Remarkable. Remarkable. I mean, you can't imagine what the way they're moving around. It's beyond belief. And they may not win. Why? Because of a split second. Because of a hundredth of a second. Because of 1/1000th of a second, we have the accuracy to measure these times on these races. And so basically they are blown away into oblivion. You don't hear about these people because they lost by a split second. I mean, look at here. Let me pick this up. Okay. 100 meters butterfly swimming. These are the times. Laszlo Seh from Hungary, 51.57 seconds. Michael Phelps, 51.58 seconds. Okay, well, 1/100th of a second difference there, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the third guy over here, Konrad Cisneriak of Poland, 51.80. You realize that that's like just about 22 one-hundredths of a second off. That guy's going to get a bronze, right? If this were the finals, this is the semifinals I'm reading. Okay. Now here we go. The guy from Italy, Piera Codia, 51.82 seconds. He's off from the medals by 2/100ths of a second. That's it. No medal for him. Will basically be forgotten. No one will remember. That's it. But that's what these competitions are about. It's finding the cream of the crop. Now think about that for a moment when we apply it to our faith. When we apply things to our faith, you know, and I've been talking to you and I've been sharing with you these past few months about the idea about new metaphors. That if we really want peace, we have to start thinking in different terms. The metaphor has to change. We can't think about let's work for peace by picking up guns, by being stronger than other people, by beating up other people, by killing other people. Let's work for peace by becoming those people of peace, those ambassadors of peace. And what does that require? That requires for us to be at the top margins, at the top ourselves, and understand that we ourselves need to be the best at peace, at bringing about that peace. This weekend, we have this beautiful feast. It's called the Feast of Assumption of St. Mary. St. Mary in Scripture is seen as this, as a human being who rises to the occasion. And this is really a challenge for all of us. It's not about a feminine mystique. It's not about about saying Hail Mary. It's not about anything more than understanding that as people, we can rise to the occasion when we do the same thing that Saint Mary did. And what did Saint Mary do? She said yes to God, but yes to the opportunity to God. A young girl, unmarried, in those times, you know, the sentence was death by stoning. And here an angel comes and says, Mary, you're gonna bear a child. And by the way, even though you don't know any man, you're gonna bear that child because the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, you gotta really have a lot of faith to say okay to that, right? She does. She says, let it be to me according to your will. Okay, so Saint Mary right there, that's the first thing. She says yes to God. Yes, despite the difficulties. Yes, despite the tragedies. And if you think about it, what's in store for that child that she's going to bear? It's not going to be an easy. Actually, it's the King of Kings who's going to be born where? She's going to be with a bunch of smelly old animals because the baby's going to be born in a manger. For the first 2 years, she's going to be out on the run with this little baby by her side. The baby is going to be mocked, humiliated. He's going to do a lot of good things, but people aren't going to accept it. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be put upon a cross. She's going to witness his suffering. And God doesn't say no. God doesn't say, oh, you know, Mary, you're a good lady. We're going to spare you all of this. No, all of this happens. Life happens. Tragedies happen. But at the end, she says yes to life. She says yes to God's invitation to love. And I want you to think about this. Never forget this. What we teach in Armodoxy is this very simple formula that Saint Nersa Shnor Ali gave us. He says the name of love is Jesus. Love equals Jesus. What did Saint Mary give to this world? Incarnate love. Love took form through Saint Mary. This is why we call Saint Mary in the Armenian tradition Astvadzin. Astvadz means God. Zin means to bear. The bearer of God. The bearer of love. It could have been Seradzin. The bearer of love. That's who Saint Mary is. And this is what's unique about her. But here's the best part of her. She's not God. And don't ever try to fool yourself into believing she's God. She's a human being like you and me. Well, what's the best part about that? Is that if she could do it, any one of us can. Any one of us can say yes to God. Any one of us can say, yes, I am ready to bear love in my life. To present love to the world. Because that's the one thing that cannot die. I mean, I shared with you this tragic story of a young man whose life was ended at age 48. Why can't he die? Because he was full of love. He shared what he was given. People loved him, cared about him, and he loved in return. You see, that love cannot die. And in the same way in all of our lives, when we trust God, it means to say yes to him, despite the difficulties that we have, despite the challenges that we have. And when we can do that, that's when we understand that what will be born from us is something nothing less than the greatest of all miracles, the miracle of giving birth to love. You see, Saint Mary gave birth to Jesus. She gave birth to love incarnate. Women give birth to life. They give life to this world. Yes. You and I, every one of us, has an opportunity to opt to give birth to love. This is through our expressions, through our deeds, through our goodness, through the love that we share with one another, with our children, with our parents, with our friends, with our relationships, our spouses, our community, and how about the world? Now that's pretty wild, isn't it? And the examples are all around us. People who push themselves to do, to share, and to give to others. That's what it's about. That's what's demanded of us. That's what we're called to do, to share that love with one another. Now, on the feast of Saint Mary, Astvadzadzin, we call it the Feast of Assumption. And I've spoken about this in the past. I'm not going to go into the history of that. Yeah, you're welcome to go check out all the previous shows. 9 years we've been doing it. My guess would be if you looked at August sessions, I do talk about that. Today I want to talk about a very special service that takes place during this feast, and that is the service of blessing grapes. Now, one of the events at the Olympics this year was synchronized diving. I had never seen this. I had seen synchronized swimming. I had never seen synchronized diving. And there was a couple of guys who dove just fantastic. I believe they got the silver medal for this. They were the American team. And at the end, the interview came up to him and says, "What do you think about this? What did you think?" And he said something very wild. I couldn't believe that they actually allowed him to say this. He said it on worldwide television. He said, "We are defined by Christ. We weren't going to allow this game to define us. And therefore we went out there. We enjoyed ourselves. We did the best that we could. And knew that our self-worth, our image, our definition of who we are was defined by Christ." What? Can you say this? Yeah, they did. They did. I was kind of shocked, you know, like, whoa, you know, here's a nice testimony. It's not your usual testimony, you know, I love Jesus. It's just like, wow, about self-definition. Well, in the same way, when we talk about Saint Mary, it's also one of defining ourselves, understanding who we are, and that's what grape blessing is all about. You see, grape blessing, now I know, people have these warning lights, "Hey, it's not in the Bible." Yeah, it is. It is in the Bible. It's called the first fruits. The first fruit of a community was offered to God. And we were just at the old age home by offering to God. Yesterday I was at the old age home where we blessed the fruits over there and then passed it out to the people. By offering it to God, it's the charity that you do to other people, that you serve other people. And the true sense of that charity is to give to others, people who have no way of giving back to you, to be sharing your wealth, to be sharing the goodness that God has given you, okay? So that's what the great blessing is about. People would bring their first fruit to the church. The church would bless it and then pass it out to those people in need. It was a way of distributing the goodness that some people had. Sometimes because of fortune. Sometimes because of a true honest work. Sometimes by the luck of the draw. Whatever the case, the church didn't make that value judgment on the person or his work, but actually just passed along the goodness to people who were quote-unquote less fortunate. So people would bring their first fruit to the church. It would be blessed. And this is where the tradition of blessing grapes began, because in Holy Scripture, Jesus says something so beautiful. It's in John chapter 15. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." In other words, the one who takes care of the vineyard, of the vine. He says, "You are the branches. You and me are the branches. And what's expected from us is that we bear good fruit, namely good grapes. Now think about the grapes. They are propagated without seed. Aha. There's the connection. Saint Mary, Jesus Christ, virgin birth, grapes propagated without seed. There's number one. Grapes are delicious. They are sometimes referred to as the king or the queen, the royalty of the fruit, right? They have that aromatic aroma. They have that, how do you say, that je ne sais quoi, taste, flavor. And each one is succulent. You enjoy it. Now that grape can only arrive at that moment if that branch is connected to the vine. That's where the nutrients come from. That's where the light, that's where photosynthesis takes place. That's where the grapes grow. And if that branch is cut off from the vine, can it bear good fruit? No, it can't. Once it is disconnected from the vine, it is dead. Now think about it. We too in our lives, when we are disconnected from God, what happens? It's over. Yeah, you look good. You might smell good. But you're dead. Life, purpose, meaning are gone. But when you're connected, that's when you have that opportunity to produce. And what does that connection to God mean? It means connection to love. It means connection to the essence of all eternity. To be connected to something higher than yourself. And so great blessing is this opportunity we come to in the church and we realize that we have something more to offer this world and give to this world than the products that we lay in front of the altar, namely our first fruit, that we have an opportunity to give ourselves to others, to the service of others, to help others. And so in this feast of Saint Mary's Assumption, we remember that Saint Mary gave of herself, said yes to God. We remember that the first fruit of her womb was Jesus Christ, and the first fruit of our womb must be the works that we do, the love that we have in our hearts, and giving it to God means to give it to the world, give it to the people around us. And so whatever you do in your life, whatever you would try to achieve, whatever your mission in life is, you achieve the best that you can. You give the best fruit that you can. Because that's what the giving to God is when you give the best to God. That's that split second that determines that you are the gold winner. You are the person in charge of defining yourself, of saying who you are, that you're somebody giving yourself for the purpose of something higher. Namely, love. St. Mary's Feast. Great blessing at a church near you. Okay, let's take a couple moments. I'll be back after Susie makes her announcement.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's next step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you all of you for all of the letters of support. The kind words and expressions that you have go a long way, and especially your prayers. Thank you very much for your prayers, your donations. Very much appreciated. All of this costs money. We're putting it all together on one of these, what you call, tightrope budgets. Well, guess what? That budget's going to be really, really tight end of this month, August. I've made a decision and been supported by my primate, by the bishop, that I need a little bit of break from parish life. Now, this ministry has been subsidized by the St. Peter Glendale Parish, and I'm going to be stepping away from there. So within a few weeks, this ministry and everything that we do, in issues and all that, will be basically independent. Remember the words I use? Subsidized? There's a beautiful community out there in Glendale, and I'll be forever indebted to them. They've really supported everything that I've done and made my dreams come true. And it's at a point right now where I realize that because of the limitations of space and a variety of other reasons, that I do need to take this next step myself. And we're doing it. Thank God he's given us the courage. He's given us the strength. But I need you to get involved. This is an opportunity for you to make your statement, to say that, yes, I want to be part of this new ministry that's coming out of there. And we're looking for major sponsors. We're looking for donors, people who want to recognize this incredible need within the community, bring Armadoxy. And this is not about an ethnic tradition. This is about bringing a truth, the oldest Christian tradition on earth, to the people. And it's not the Christian tradition that everybody tells you it is. It's a Christian tradition that demands that you do not check your brain in at the door, that you use your intelligence, that you use the gifts that God has given you to accent the greatest gift that God has given you, that gift of life. And so make it today. You can go on our website. If it's going to be substantial, drop me a line, okay? Right to feedback@epostle.net. Epostle, really easy to remember. That's apostle with an E, apostolic evangelism for an electronic universe. Very easy. And if you subscribe to the idea of a multiverse, then an electronic multiverse, okay? Either way, it still works, epostle. Anyway, get on our website, inhisshoes.org, and press on the donate button. You can make your donation there, but like I said, if it's going to be sizable, you want to set up some kind of a system where your donation can be recognized. You want to be a sponsor of this program. You want your business to be a sponsor of this program. This is the time to do it. We're looking for that kind of sponsorship so that we could continue. And with that, I'm going to do as I always do, leave it to God. If it's his ministry, he wants it to move forward, I know he's going to open the hearts of people, and it's going to happen. So God bless you all, and thank you very much for all of your support. We're looking forward to a few more weeks at St. Peter Glendale. So if you happen to be in the Glendale area, do stop by and see us and be a part of that worshiping community. Sunday mornings, Pacific time in Glendale. Hey, I want to call it a day today. I want to thank you for joining us, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. Check out the show notes. You'll find notes to all the stuff that we did, links that you can press on and get some more information. Join us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and of course at the mothership, inhisshoes.org. For the wonderful team who brought today's show to you, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Talk with it.